The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. I saw a tweet the other day that says something to the effect of, so y'all just going to argue with scientists about science? I saw another Facebook status that said this: please stop saying you researched it. You didn't research anything, and it's highly probable you don't even know how to do so. Did you compile a literature review and write abstracts on each article? Or better yet, did you collect a random sample of sources and perform independent probability statistics on the reported results? No. Did you at least take each article one by one and look into the source, then critique the writing for logical fallacies, cognitive distortions, and plain inaccuracies? Did you ask yourself why this source might publish these particular results? Did you follow the trail of references and apply the same source of scrutiny to them? No? Then you didn't fucking research anything! You read or you watched a video, most likely with little to no objectivity. You came across something in your algorithm-manipulated feed, something that jived with your implicit biases and served your confirmation bias, and subconsciously applied your emotional filters and called it proof. Those two statuses really define where we are in this pandemic right now, but I'm not here to preach at you or convince you of anything. I'm just here to talk to an actual infectious disease expert, and my hope is you will listen to him because, and I cannot say this strongly enough, he actually knows what the fuck he's talking about, and he knows what he's talking about because it's all he's done day in and day out his entire adult life. So with no further ado, let's do it. My guest today is the president and CEO of Meharry Medical College, world-renowned infectious disease expert, graduate of Oxford and Johns Hopkins Universities, and member of President Biden's Health Equity Task Force, Dr. James E. K. Hildreth. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Pull up, get it. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 41 now, the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today for the third time. Not only are you the only guest I've had on more than once, now you're the only guest that's been on three times. And as we were just saying off air, we were hoping that next time I had you on, we wouldn't have to talk about COVID. But here we are. Dr. James Hildreth, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Pleased to be here.
So I guess we'll just start with this Delta variant. I think there are probably a lot of questions about it. I know there's a lot of misinformation, and we're going to go through a lot of the misinformation today, but what exactly is going on right now with the Delta variant?
So first, people need to know that the Delta variant is a result of mutations in the virus's genome. And these mutations happen all the time. But sometimes a mutation will occur that changes the structure of the virus's proteins. And in this case, what we know for sure is this virus binds more tightly to its receptor, which means that fewer virus particles are required to cause an infection. And that's why this virus is so much more transmissible than Alpha or the original strains. And as you probably have heard, one of the documents from the CDC compared it to a pox virus, which are among the most highly transmissible that we know.
And not only is it more transmissible, it seems to be more serious. The symptoms seem to be more serious. Is that correct?
Well, we don't have all the data yet, but based on observations that are being made in hospitals around the country, people who are coming in now are younger than they were before. And that's partly because younger people are not fully vaccinated yet compared to older individuals. But the observation does seem to be that this virus will make you sicker quicker than the original strains did. And more importantly, is children who were somewhat not impacted severely by the virus, the original strains and Alpha. This virus is making them sick. And pediatric ICUs are filling up around the country, and it's a very disturbing thing.
I do want to talk about the vaccine because I was fully vaccinated. I got my second shot in April. And credit to you because you're one of the probably the driving force of that when you made me feel comfortable about taking the vaccine. The CDC recently said that vaccinated people are just as likely to transmit the Delta variant as unvaccinated people. But I believe it was a CNN published a report that said 99.9% of vaccinated people have not had a breakthrough case of COVID. Can you clear that up? That sounds to like an untrained ear like mine. It sounds a little conflicting.
It does sound conflicting, but here's a couple of things to think about. From my perspective, we don't really know the rate of breakthrough infections because some people who experience breakthrough infections, we know this through anecdotal evidence, do not get symptoms. And if you don't get symptoms, you're not going to present yourself to a person to be treated. You're not going to come to the attention of the healthcare providers. So we don't know the true breakthrough rate, to be honest with you. What we do know is that if you're vaccinated and you have a breakthrough infection, you're not likely to get really sick, and you're certainly not going to end up in an ICU, and you're most certainly not going to die from COVID-19. The point I made earlier is that because it takes many fewer particles to cause an infection, that's why people with a breakthrough infection, especially with Delta, can transmit the virus just like an unvaccinated person. And this is all related to the viral load in your nasal cavity, because that's where the virus is being expelled from your body. So if there is a high viral load in your upper respiratory system, you are very likely to transmit the virus. And what we know is that in some breakthrough infections, that is the case. And that is why we recommend that whether you're vaccinated or not, if you don't know the vaccination status of the people that you're with, I would advise you to keep wearing a mask.
Yeah, I wore a mask even when they told me that I could take it off. I was still, you that's still catch me excellent. In a grocery store with a mask on. And that's I think excellent. Another thing that I think people are confused about is that all of these things are essentially lowering risk. If you eat better, if you exercise, if you wear a mask, if you get vaccinated, all of those things are like checking boxes that lower your risk. No one thing is foolproof. And I think for whatever reason, people think, well, if I got to wear a mask, well, I got to take the vaccine. If I got to take the vaccine, why am I wearing a mask? And why am I having to eat healthy? All of these things are just things you do to lower risk. And I think that needs to be explained. Sadly, I think it needs to be explained.
No, you're absolutely right. That when you do all of these things in combination, you minimize the risk to the maximal extent. Even in the vaccine trials, people need to remember that it was a 95% protection rate, which means that 5% of the individuals who got the vaccine were not protected. So that's why I think to say that 99.99% of people don't have breakthrough infections is not even consistent with the data from the trials. Mm-hmm. But what I can say is with a lot of confidence, if you do have a breakthrough infection and you're vaccinated, your chances of getting sick, getting really sick or dying are really minimal. But the point you made is one that needs to be made over and over again. It is the combination of all the things that we do to protect ourselves that not just gives us individually the protection, we're protecting our whole community. And so I like to tell people that wearing a mask and getting vaccinated are both selfish things to do because you're protecting yourself, but it's also a selfless thing to do because you're protecting others. And that point now needs to be brought home very strongly because children are the ones who now need our protection. The best way to protect an unvaccinated child is to make sure they're always surrounded by people who are vaccinated and wearing masks to keep them from giving the virus to those children. But that is why we do those things, is to protect others. And now we need to protect our children.
I'm really glad you brought that up because my next question, and I'm not trying to single anybody out, but you're an authority on infectious disease, and talking heads on TV and radio like myself, we are not. So I do want to dispel some misinformation. And the latest example I can think about that, conservative talk show host Clay Travis, who originally predicted COVID would kill, he said under 60,000 people. He recently trended for a speech he gave at the Williamson County School Board meeting when they were considering a mask mandate for kids in school. Clay said, this is a direct quote, "The facts are these: masks don't work. There isn't a single scientific data that has ever proven that masks work." What is your reaction to that?
That is total nonsense. And if he were to check the published scientific papers, I can point to at least a dozen papers from around the world that dispute his claim. He does not know what he's talking about. He's not an infectious disease specialist. He's not a physicist. He's not any of the scientists who study these things. This has been studied by infectious disease specialists, pulmonologists, people who are physicists who study the movement of air and particles. They all come to the same conclusion, that wearing a mask protects people from infectious diseases. There's a good reason why flu, influenza, and flu cases virtually disappeared around the globe this year because of two things that people were doing: staying apart and wearing a mask. So I don't know who this person is, but they clearly do not know what they're talking about, because the scientific evidence is overwhelming that masks do work. That's why healthcare professionals wear them when they're treating patients. That's why surgeons wear them when they're performing surgery. That is total nonsense. And I'm sorry, but
I'm glad you said that, because like I said, I want some of this misinformation, and there's so much misinformation out there. I don't know that anybody could have foreseen the amount of just garbage and trash that's out there that's misleading from people that are not doctors, from people that are not, have not, you've dedicated your whole life to this work. And if you haven't, you should listen to the people that have. And that's my point. He went on to say that children are more likely to die from the seasonal flu than COVID. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's not the point of the mask. I think the point of the mask is to stop the spread. So maybe your kid does get COVID. Maybe that child doesn't get sick at all. But maybe they pass it on to you or your spouse or a family member, and maybe that person does pass away. I think the point is to stop the spread, correct?
That is exactly right. Because even if children do not get sick, they can become vectors to carry the virus to the people that, that care for them, including older adults, grandparents, et cetera. And so again, this is about protecting the community. And if we value all lives the same, as we keep saying that we do, even if it's only a few children who die, that's a few children too many. And the other point of this that really gets me in my feelings is most of the kids who get really sick and who die are Black and brown. I bet you that if that were the reverse, if it was primarily white children that were getting sick and dying, we'd be having a totally different combination. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
I totally agree with you. And I want to ask you this too. Do you think there's a failure in teaching scientific procedures in the education system? Because it seems like the process is completely misunderstood. And when we have times like these where the scientific process is kind of rolling out in real time in front of everybody, which it normally doesn't do, people have a hard time understanding what's going on. But the scientific process is that. It is a process. It has a starting point, and
exactly.
So you try things, and
I try to explain to people that science is not truth. Science is not knowledge. Science is the relentless pursuit of truth and knowledge. And as our tools get better, our knowledge and our ability to discover truths and knowledge get better. So the scientific process is just what you said. It's a process. It's a way by which we examine the world around us, look for answers to problems, and we find them. But as our tools get better and as more data accumulate, then we have to follow what the scientific process leads us to. What it has led us to is we're dealing with a virus that is mutating and changing, and it does that by infecting people. And as long as there's large numbers of people out there who are not vaccinated, who can become hosts for the virus, all of us are at risk because a variant could arise for which the vaccines do not protect us. That means that all of us go back to square one. And that's a point that also needs to be emphasized over and over again. As long as there are lots of people out there who are not vaccinated, they pose a risk to the rest of us because they could harbor a virus that mutates and changes that the vaccines do not protect us against. It is science that teaches us that. I mean, it's a scientific process that goes back decades and decades where we understand the biology of viruses. And what we now understand is that RNA viruses, all of them mutate and become different, and they're evolving. And viral evolution occurs on a time frame of days or weeks, in some cases even minutes. So how do you deal with that? You deal with that by not giving the virus a chance to replicate, by stopping it from being transmitted. And that's what we have to do.
And I think Pfizer is applying for a third shot. Have you seen any of that data? How does that look? Is that promising?
It looked very promising. And, you know, I've gotten into a little bit of trouble for saying this, but I'm going to say it again. I believe that anyone who got the single shot J&J vaccine, which is an excellent vaccine, but given that the variants have arisen, and we know from published data that a single shot vaccine, any of them with one shot, is not as effective against variants as two shots, that we should be actually trying to get a second shot into all those people who got a J&J vaccine.
I saw the reaction to people, even people that had the first two shots when Pfizer said they wanted to give you a third one, and it was not good. So explain kind of what a booster shot is and what it does for people like me that I'm.
So here's what we need to know, a little bit of immunology 101. So we were naive immunologically to this virus, SARS-CoV-2, back in December of 2019. Actually, the first infection may have occurred in November 2019. Prior to that time, as far as we know, no human being had ever been challenged with being infected by that virus, which meant that our immune system had no knowledge of it. And we make what is called a primary immune response. Primary immune responses are fairly weak. They're short-lived. They only last for about, 4 to 6 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. The second time you see the very same thing, a little bit of magic happens because you make what is called a secondary immune response. It can be as many as 1,000 to 10,000 times stronger than the primary response. You make antibodies that bind tightly, but more importantly, you generate memory T cells. And these cells allow the immune system to remember how to respond. So that the next time you see it, you're going to make a really strong response. The problem is that if the virus is evolving and changing, the antibodies we made to the original strains may not bind as well to the viruses that have changed or the variants. What the booster does is it gives the B cells that are making the antibodies another jolt. They make a higher level of antibodies. And we now know that if you have more of those neutralizing antibodies, you're better protected against the variants than if you don't. So the whole idea of the booster is to give you a better chance to fight off the variants that are arising. What I think we need to do, though, and I know that Pfizer and Moderna are working on this, we need to make a vaccine that matches the changes that the virus has made. And one of the beautiful things about mRNA technology is the virus itself uses messenger RNA, positive strand RNA as its genome. So all we have to do is to take our messenger RNA and make it match the messenger RNA in the virus. And that's what this technology allows us to do and do it quickly. So in the future, I'm predicting the boosters will be not the original vaccine, but vaccines that better match the variants that people are being infected with.
That makes sense. Are we getting out of this anytime soon?
I believe that what happens in the next month or two in terms of the level of vaccinations that we achieve will determine whether or not we're dealing with COVID-19 for another few months, for another couple of years. Mm-hmm. I know that doesn't make people feel happy, but I say that because the longer we delay in getting herd immunity achieved, the greater chance will be that a variant will arise again that the vaccines do not cover very well. And that means we got to go through this whole exercise again of trying to get people to get vaccinated. And if it's anything like it was this time around, that means there's going to be these cycles of partial vaccination, variants arising, we get boosters for the variants, we don't achieve full level of vaccination in the population, another variant arises. So we're going to be chasing COVID-19 or chasing the virus for years to come if we don't achieve high levels of vaccination quickly.
What percentage do we need?
Based on the higher transmissibility of Delta variant, I mean, at first, that's it, thinking was 70%. But for a variant like Delta, which is highly transmissible, probably more like 80 or 90% is what we're going to have to try to achieve. And I know that's high, but as I've been telling people, the virus will always have the final say. And in this case, the virus has informed us that it's not going to stop changing and evolving. It's getting better and better. I mean, Alpha was about 60% more transmissible than the original strains. Delta, we know, is at least twice as transmissible as the original strains. As a matter of fact, some data from the CDC suggested it might be as many as 10 times higher than the original strain. So the virus will have the final say. And what the virus has said to us is that we're going to have to kick up our level of expectations for vaccination to send it back into the pit. And so the challenge is, what do you do when so many people have just made up their mind they're just not going to do it?
I don't know. Dr. Hildreth, thank you for doing this on behalf of the human race. We thank you for all of your work and all doctors' work that, and I'm sorry that there's a large percentage of the population that is making your job so much more stressful, so much more difficult, because I know you guys, especially, you know, those on the front lines, those in the hospitals are, they've been dealing with this for a year and a half, and it looked like there was light at the end of the tunnel, and now it's not looking like that much anymore. Whatever we can do to get the message out to continue vaccinations, I'm here to help.
I appreciate that. And I just want you to use your voice as much as you can to let people know there are answers out there to their questions. And I always start by acknowledging that people have legitimate questions. We should not, you know, even call into an issue whether or not people should have questions about a vaccine, because we're injecting people who are healthy, essentially, with a substance that I think has been thoroughly tested, but it is a new vaccine. So I think there are legitimate reasons to have questions, but there are answers to all the questions. And I would just plead with people, please get your questions answered. And I think a reasonable person having their questions answered will decide to protect themselves and their community. That's my prayer.
And I feel like you are definitely there to answer all questions, and you've never danced around or not answered a question, honestly, to me, since I've had you on, and this is the third time. And I do appreciate that, because even when you say if you have a point you want to make, but you say the data's not there, you always say the data's not there. And I think that is really appreciated by people who are really listening to the things you're saying, because a lot of people don't have the humility to say that. They want to have, they want to say, no, this is it. This is what, but you're always, the science is showing us this, but it's not confirmed, or this is confirmed. Right. This is, and that means a lot to people. And thank you for being that way. And thank you for all of the work that you do. And thank you for, again, for coming on for a third time now. And hopefully next time we talk to you, COVID is in the past and we can talk about something else.
All right. I appreciate that. Let's make that our goal and our hope.
Absolutely. Dr. Hildreth, thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other, Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Dr. James E.K. Hildreth. I hope you heard him out. He knows what he's talking about. Very intelligent man. And he came on now for the third time and hopefully the last time that I ever have to talk about COVID on this podcast. Although the way things are trending, that may not be the case. All I ask is that you continue to lower your risk. If that means eating as healthy as possible to you and taking care of your body and exercising, do that. Also, mask up every time you're out. Continue to social distance. I know the vaccine is a very sensitive topic. I took it back in April. I feel great. And I feel even greater knowing that the chances of me leaving Earth and leaving my daughter fatherless due to COVID-19 are much, much, much smaller than they would if I was unvaccinated. That's all I'm going to say about it. Thank you again for checking out the podcast. Brand new episode drops next Wednesday. My guest, Zakiya Dalila Harris, the author of The Other Black Girl. Definitely looking forward to having that conversation next Wednesday. Whatever platform you're listening on, make sure you're following or subscribing, whatever they call it. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and rate, go ahead and review. I definitely appreciate all that positivity. And again, thank you so much for checking out the podcast. Make sure you follow me on the gram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse. Everything is at DoleWhite101, DoleWhite101. That's my time. I'm out. Brand new episode next week.